when your pastor and my son-in-law came to me and suggested that for Christmas Eve it might be a nice idea to read the scriptures pertaining to the Nativity and intersperse them with Christmas carol, the Christmas carols that are used by the world, and of course they're also found in our hymn book. Am I coming through loud and clear? Good. You find them in our hymn book from page 37 to 52. And as I read and call upon you at different times through the reading to sing, I think it might be well if we remain seated rather than standing each time. But if you'll have your hymn books ready to sing the hymns, and they're between 37 and 52 with one exception. I want to start reading in Luke let's turn to hymn 43. We start out the scripture reading here with Gabriel, the angel, and it might be well to start out with a hymn that has to do with angels. Angels from the Realms of Glory, number 43. Come out this evening on New Year's Eve, or on Christmas Eve, excuse me. After all, Christmas Eve is the worshiping of Christ in the church, is really the reason for the season, as we see advertised here and there. I'd like you to bow your heads with me for a minute in prayer. I have a personal problem, and I'd like to invoke the Lord's blessing before we go into the reading of Scripture. Our God and our Father who art in heaven, we look unto thee this night in thanksgiving. We thank thee for those who have seen fit to come out in thy house of worship this night to do homage to thee. On this night in which we commemorate the birth of our Lord and our Savior, and as we read of the birth of Christ from the Gospel according to Luke, and the Gospel as is recorded by Matthew, we pray that thy blessing might be upon thy holy word, that it may truly be meaningful to us. I ask of thee that as I stand here in the pulpit and occupy, that thy spirit might rest upon me and with me. Thou knowest the anxiety that's in my heart. And I pray that thou would be with me and help me. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke, first chapter, 26th verse, the angel Gabriel, we heard talk this morning about the angels and their appearance unto men. Here we find that Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. And he was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored of the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Did you notice what the word was there? It wasn't a vision. It wasn't a hallucination or a dream. She saw him. She saw Gabriel. We'll find out later that she talked with him. So Gabriel appeared to her, and she cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Can you imagine the amazement of that woman having an angel from the Lord come and appear to her, to converse with her? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. This is the Jesus whose birth we remember tonight. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary to the angel, she talked to Gabriel, then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, since I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. I'm sure that means the known world at that time under the supervision or the, well, under the Roman Empire, certainly. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. And there he was to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Shall we turn now to number 50 and sing Away in a Manger? Same country, shepherds abiding over the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What a joy. Let's sing Joy to the World, number 52. Thank you. Shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Number 47 is about the little town of Bethlehem. Let's sing verse 1 and 2 of number 47. One and two.
Little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee light. All of thy deep and dreamless sleep, silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shine.
Found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I'd like to turn over to Matthew now and read from the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Here we have another angel appearing unto Joseph. Appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, or of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord, or spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. I'd like to sing 233. Now that's not a Christmas carol, but 233 is "Oh, Worship the King." Jesus our Lord. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Naturally, he was worried that another king was going to take his place. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. I thought here we might sing the third and fourth verse of number 47. In Judea of Bethlehem. Third and fourth.
No ear may hear his coming.
the sixth verse, Matthew, in his recording of the gospel, quotes the prophet Micah as saying that in Bethlehem the Savior would be born. Thou, O thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Of course, we know that that was a big lie. He had no such intention. And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come in the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And you turn to 37, and we'll sing Silent Night, Holy Night. God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt will I call my son. What is the percentage of probability that a man 700 years before the birth of Christ could know that the mother and father of that child would have to take him into a foreign country to protect him from harm, and that later on he would be called forth from that country? What is the possibility of a man 700 years before making that prediction? How could he possibly have known it without divine intervention, without indeed being a prophet of God? But that's only one prophet. That's only one. Think of the ratio, the possibility, or the probability of it happening, that Micah could have predicted that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, a tiny little city, almost unknown on the face of the earth. But Micah predicted that Jesus would there be born. What is the probability of two prophets having their predictions come to truth? What about Isaiah? The prophecy that he made that Christ would be born of a virgin. Or the psalmist, that he would die with both hands and feet being pierced. And yet, saying, as came to pass, but not a bone in his body was broken. And the greatest one of all, probably, that he would be resurrected from the grave on the third day. What is the chance, the probability of all these things coming to pass exactly as the prophets had predicted? I think the figures would be probably reached to the moon, I don't know. Without God planting the thought in their mind, it would be impossible. But then we go to the present day and we think of the prophecies that are given in our day, the encouragement that Jesus gave to those of the latter day, the day in which we live. In John 14:2, Jesus said, Let not your heart be troubled. Who is he talking to? Is he talking to the world here? I think not. I think he's talking to those who are followers of his, who are of the church, if you please, who are his followers, because he says, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He's not talking to the world, because he's not preparing a place for the world. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And the way you know. If we follow Scripture, if we know what the plan of salvation is, we know the way of salvation. I think when we read from the first chapter of Acts, where they stand there and Jesus was taken up into heaven. Two men in white apparel said, "Why do you gaze up into heaven, watching him go up there? Don't you know that the same Jesus that you have seen go up into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go?" What an encouraging thought to think, and as we do, of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're living in a very, very wicked world. A very wicked world. Perhaps we in the church are sheltered a bit from the things that are going on in the world, but we're living very, very close to the days comparable to Sodom and Gomorrah. A world very close to the predicted days that, as it was in the days of Noah, when violence would fill the earth. Every day the thieves of the world are concocting new ways to rob and to steal, to break in. All the prophecies indicate that we are right at the end time. These are prophecies that we know are going to come to pass because men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And if they wrote according to the Holy Spirit, they cannot fail. I think one of the most beautiful things that sometimes I just can't get over it. I can't comprehend it. The first chapter of Peter says, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard." Think of the experience that Peter had of being an eyewitness to the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. Could there be a greater experience than that? And yet this is what baffles me. Yet, in spite of this wonderful experience that Peter had, in spite of that, he says, "Yet we have the more sure word of prophecy." Think of it. That's how important prophecy is. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." The prophecies that were given about the coming of Jesus in the manger are wonderful. They give us assurance. You notice when I read in Matthew, it always said that which was written might be fulfilled. And yet those people who lived right then didn't accept those prophecies. And the prophecies of our day are just as manifold, but are the people believing them today? No, they're not. They're going on their wicked way, ignoring it. But he says, "Knowing this first, no prophecy of Scripture is for any private interpretation." None is for a private interpretation. Prophecy came not of old time by the will of man. The holy man of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how important prophecy is. "We have not followed cunningly devised fables." I think because of the importance of prophecy is one of the reasons that God put in the church. First of all, he said he put in the church first apostles, that so we be not tossed about by every wind of doctrine. The second thing he put in the church was prophets. You can see why, how important it is. If we don't have somebody prophesying, we know the Lord God does nothing but what he revealeth at first. The nativity story, the singing of the inspirational hymns. If we read the prophecies, we can have the assurance that God is true. We see the things come to pass that he's predicted and prophesied. We have that comfort in our thinking that we know God is true. And as they are fulfilled, we pray that we'll be helped in remaining faithful until the end of our days. He says we have to endure until the end. And as I said before, the world is wicked. We need to gird up our loins, be familiar with the scriptures, always pray, as I've heard now in two preaching services lately. Never read the scriptures. Never read the scriptures until you pray first and ask God to let the same Spirit dwell in you that dwelt in those that wrote those words for our comfort and our learning. I hope all of you have a very pleasant Christmas time. I hope that you're blessed of God through the new year that's coming, and God will be with each and every one of us to watch over us, to guide us and protect us, and above all things, to keep us continually spiritually minded. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We've had administration be requested. Brother Nicholas and feel that we've been truly blessed this day in our services that we've had, and the opportunity that we've had to meet here in the Lord's house, to hear the marvelous story of the birth of a son, the gift that the Lord gave to us, and to be present for the administrations that we've been blessed with. And I hope all you kids especially noticed today that this evening that we were blessed with experiencing an answer of prayer. As our brother here stood before us in faith and had a problem and opened up his heart to his Heavenly Father and asked for a blessing to be upon him. And as we were fortunate enough to experience, we saw that happen. It's once again a witness to us that any time that we might have a time of trial or whatever might befall us, that if we stop and turn to our Heavenly Father, he will hear and answer our prayers. Let's close this evening with the singing of hymn number 44, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Could we stand, please? Sorry.
Joyful, ye nations.
please.